This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about immigration law issues. My guest, it's my great pleasure to have returning to the program, Luis J. Rodriguez, immediate past president of the State Bar of California, a past president of the California La Raza Lawyers Association. He is the division chief of the law offices of the public defender in Los Angeles County. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which certifies 11 fields of law: immigration law, appellate law, bankruptcy law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, franchise and distribution law, taxation law, workers' compensation law, legal malpractice law, and admiralty and maritime law. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar and by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Luis, welcome back.
Hi, Chuck. How are you? It's so nice to be back.
It's just great to have you back on the program. Would you do this? President Obama has taken a lot of flack. A lot of people are praising him. A lot of people are not praising him with respect to his executive order regarding immigration, which may affect somewhere in the neighborhood of 4.5 million people. Why don't you tell us about it?
Sure, Chuck. So as you know, we've all been either listening via radio or watching the news. Not too long ago, the president issued the executive order, which would allow folks, and you know, with specific requirements, to be able to stay in the country legally, providing them an opportunity to stay here, stay with their families. You know, the main focus, I think, and aim by the president was to keep families together. And you, being prosecutor, me being a defense attorney, we know that the president's executive order does account for not allowing certain individuals to benefit from this executive order. So that's where we're at right now. We're, you know, like you said, some people agree with it, some people don't, but a lot of people see it as hope, really, hope to start living the American dream.
And as I understand it, and I'm sure you're much more familiar with it than I am, it relates to people who are undocumented. If they have a child who is an American citizen or who is a resident of California or the United States, that is one of the major, if not the major factor for these people applying to try to qualify under the executive order. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, just briefly, many of us, especially our friends in the immigration law practice, have seen families torn apart. The children, the minors, being left here while one of their parents or both are being deported to their country of origin.
Well, it makes no sense. It makes no sense at all in terms of, I think, the history of our country. It just makes no sense. So I hope that this will last. I understand from what you told me that Assembly Person Lorena Gonzalez has a proposed Assembly Bill 11, or pardon me, Assembly Bill 60. What does that do?
So this is just to give you a little background history, Chuck, and we talked about this a while ago. Earlier this year, Assemblymember Gonzalez had, I think it was sometime around June, July, forwarded Assembly Bill 1159, which dealt with protecting consumers in the immigration area when it came to Reform Act work. And that was when there was hope that Congress was going to pass something, that the president was going to sign it into law. And so there was anticipation that there was going to be actual reform. So back then, the assembly member passed a bill, and it was, and this just tells you how important immigration is in California. That was neither party opposed it. Both Republicans and Democrats supported it 100%. And what it did was that, first of all, the term notario, which is público, which is, some people think it translates into public notary, which it doesn't. In many of the Spanish-speaking countries, a notario is a person at a much higher level than even an attorney.
Mm.
So folks in Spanish-speaking countries, if they want legal work done at a different level, they go to a notario. Well, here anybody can, and you'll see it in a lot of the communities where there's a lot of Spanish-speaking folks, where there's little shops set up as notario públicos or public notaries, as they attempt to translate. So folks assume that these folks are educated formally and have the proper licensing. Well, that law made that term illegal, but more importantly, what it said was that for those attorneys who were charging money in anticipation of the Reform Act work, they could no longer charge that money because there was no law on the books. And if they had collected that money needed to go into a client trust fund. Well, Assembly Bill 60, the new one by Assemblymember Gonzalez, all it does is that it extends that law to the executive order. You know, the executive order is still not in effect. So what it does is that any attorneys charging money for an order that hasn't been effectuated yet are not allowed to do that, to collect money. And if they collect money, then it must go into a trust account. Once the executive order is final, then that's when the attorneys can start charging for that kind of work.
And the attorneys, I mean, these are attorneys certainly in California who are members of the State Bar of California. We're talking about people who are authorized to practice law.
Correct. And as we know, with immigration law, an attorney here in California can practice immigration law, but they don't have to be licensed in California.
Ah.
They can be licensed in any of the 50 states.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, you know, and that's the interesting thing. People assume that all attorneys practicing law in California are licensed with the state of California. The exception is immigration attorney.
Really? That's interesting. So if someone is an immigration, is licensed, let's say, in Nevada and practices immigration law, that attorney who's licensed in Nevada by the State Bar of Nevada can actually practice immigration law in California?
Correct, without being licensed in California.
That's very interesting. Would you talk a little bit more, Assemblywoman Gonzalez's AB 60, when will it be before the actual legislature? Do you know, for vote?
You know, it's not up for the vote. The last hearing it had was just last week, the December 11th. And let me see if I can go back here a little bit. I believe the next hearing is set for, and I'll tell you right now, January the 10th.
Ah, okay. So it is. It will be heard by the full legislature or by the assembly. Is that correct?
By the assembly. Correct.
Okay, and then assuming it passes through the assembly, it then goes to the state senate. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Would you talk a little bit more though about notario público, because I think this is very important. I did. Some years ago in my consumer role at the district attorney's office for San Mateo County, I did take on some cases where some people were being charged a lot of money by people who were not attorneys and by people who were really getting them into a situation of being deported rather than helped. And if you don't mind, let's take a very brief break at this time, and I'll be right back in a moment. It's our Call a Lawyer night. I want these attorneys who are so gracious to be here to talk with you off the air. No obligation on your part. Please call 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. We have workers' compensation law. If you have questions in the area of family law or immigration law, please call in, give your name and phone number. We will have someone call you back. Not probably tomorrow. So we do have a lawyer who will call you back for family law. We have a lawyer who will call you back for immigration law. We have legal malpractice law here tonight, landlord-tenant law, labor and employment law, tax law, real estate, and we have patent law, aviation, lemon law. And tomorrow we will have, if you're a debtor, who's being chased by your creditors, I will have for you the name and phone number of Leon Baer, who'll take your calls tomorrow morning. So that's 1-800-525-9917. We'll take some calls on the air a little later in the program. You might want to jot down the number, 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134, if you want to talk to Luis J. Rodriguez. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. It's my great pleasure to have Luis J. Rodriguez, immediate past president of the State Bar of California, as my guest. I think, Luis, this is your third time on the program, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. You and maybe only two or three other State Bar presidents have been on the program three times. As you may recall, this is the 31st year I've been doing this program.
Congratulations.
And one of my great friends who I went to law school with, and I don't know if you've ever met him, Anthony Murray. Did you ever meet Tony?
I did not.
Yeah, he and I graduated from Loyola Law School in 64, believe it or not. And he became the State Bar President a few years after that. And is still practicing law. But in any event, talk a little bit more about your concerns of notario publicos and what it means to the average consumer who is hoping to get some help to stay here legally.
Well, this is, and Chuck, you've been dealing with it for a while, which in the legal sector we know as the unauthorized practice of law.
Yes.
And but in the Spanish-speaking community, it's, you know, the folks are afraid for a number of reasons. They are here without proper documentation. They're afraid to go to government entities for help. They don't know about legal aid organizations or nonprofit organizations. And many times they assume that going to an attorney is just going to be way too expensive. So the comfortable resource that they look to is what they're familiar with, which is in Mexico, a number of Central American countries, South American. A notario público is, like I said, a very well-respected individual at a higher level of influence and education than an attorney is in those countries. So they assume that a notario here in the United States, specifically in California, is as educated, as well-prepared, as regulated as someone from their country of origin. So they go to these folks, and they pay, you know, $100, which for us may not be a lot, for them it is, in cash most of the time, cashier's checks. They may not have a checking account, and many times, you know, the notario, and I've heard it many times, will say, "Look, it's going to cost you a little bit more for me to help you out to fill these forms, so I need to get monthly payments for you."
Mm-hmm.
And these are filling forms out that they can go to on the internet or go to a legal aid organization and get them done for free.
When you say a legal aid organization, you mean such as the county legal aid organization that may exist throughout various counties in all counties in the state of California?
Correct.
Yeah, well, that's something very much. My experience with this, Luis, going back several years ago, and I dealt with two or three cases of this, was a situation where a notario who advertised he was going to help these people did not comply with California law. And one of the things was you had to have a sign, both in English and Spanish, that informed a prospective consumer that I am not an attorney.
Right.
And these people weren't doing that. And one of the things, you talk about $100, well, The people who came to my office in San Mateo County were complaining about paying hundreds of dollars.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it fortunately, I was able to do something to correct the situation. At the time, unfortunately, and I think it has changed since then, the state bar was not going after these people. And this goes back a number of years ago. I think the state bar has taken a different position now for the unauthorized practice of law. At least I hope that's the case. Do you know if it is?
That's one of the issues that's being discussed.
I see. Okay. Well, I hope they get motivated on that, frankly.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So there are nonprofit organizations that will help people. There's the legal aid societies that are throughout California. There is a bill that I think becomes effective January 1st of this coming year on driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants. Would you talk a little bit about that and what that boils down to?
Certainly. So going back, you know, years ago, he's currently now a council member here in Los Angeles City, and former assembly member, former state senator Gil Cedillo, who for years had been pushing forward a bill to allow undocumented immigrants to have a California driver's license. Finally, this year, assembly member Luis Alejo, who from Salinas, was able to get the support of both houses, and of course the governor signed that was also Assembly Bill 60 into law, which allows undocumented immigrants to apply for a California driver's license. Now, and this just tells you how amazing things are. You know, you go onto the DMV website and you go and click onto that link, and it tells the folks exactly in English and in Spanish what they need to do to provide the proper documentation to be able to obtain a driver's license. Well, it's illegal to charge anybody for them to fill out a form, that DMV form. You know, a family member can assist, but it is illegal for anyone to charge. And so what we're going to see, Chuck, as well, is that folks, not knowing what their rights are, and that's why we have programs such as yours, are going to go to folks, and they may not even advertise themselves as notarios. They may change their title and saying, look, pay me $50 or $100, and I'll help you fill out the form when it's supposed to be free. So, you know, let's look at the bigger picture, which you mentioned earlier. You know, we have about 4.5 million undocumented immigrants. So just imagine the business shot in the arm in that industry, which is undocumented immigrants seeking assistance both to apply for a driver's license and to seek aid under the presidential executive order.
Mm-hmm. Luis, one of the things that I'm very proud about with respect to this program, as you know, the first half hour is the statewide version of the program. We are live on the air a full hour in the San Francisco Bay Area. We're live for a full hour on the Internet at www.klw.org. But the first half hour is recorded to CD, sent out to 15 other stations in California, including the network, Radio Bilingue Network, which is, I think, has about 10 stations throughout California. And so, and the Radio Bilingue has aired my program for a number of years now. And, of course, a number of their listeners, a good percentage of their listeners, are not only Spanish-speaking but English-speaking, and that's why they continue to air the program. So what you are telling these listeners is that this is very important stuff, and if they are going to be charged by someone for filling out a DMV form that relates to getting a driver's license, then I think what we need to do is talk about them considering contacting, if I may suggest this, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, but my being a deputy DA in consumer protection for San Mateo County, I'm thinking that throughout the state, other consumer protection units with DA's offices would be looking quite interestingly at people who are illegally charging for filling out the DMV forms, and I think people who are being charged this should contact their local DA's offices. What comments do you have?
You know, I agree with you. People need to be informed, and there's a lot of resources out there for folks to be able to take advantage of. And like you laid it out very clearly, folks should be informed as to what their rights are.
So I hope that those of you who are Spanish English speaking will take advantage of what former president of the state bar Luis J. Rodriguez is talking about. It is our Call a Lawyer night. We are fewer than I expected, unfortunately. But let me tell you who's here. Alice O'Sullivan for Workers' Compensation Law. Alice is a certified specialist, former chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. We will have, if you have a family law question or if you have an immigration law question, please call in to our Call a Lawyer Night number, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And your name and phone number will be taken down, and a family law attorney, a certified specialist, will call you tomorrow. Or if you have an immigration law question, a certified specialist in immigration law will call you tomorrow. Here, Sal Timpano is here tonight to do landlord-tenant law questions. Frank Adam, the tax law real estate broker guy, is here to deal with your real estate questions. And tomorrow, if you're being chased and hounded by creditors, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be willing to talk with you. No obligation on your part whatsoever. He's available tomorrow, Thursday, December 18th, from 8 a.m. to noon at 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call and get his voicemail, leave your name and phone number and say that Chuck Finney of Your Legal Rights said you'd call, he'll call you back. So that's what's going on. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're talking about immigration law issues. My guest is Luis J. Rodriguez, immediate past president of the State Bar of California. He's also a past president of the California La Raza Lawyers Association, division chief of the law offices of the Public Defender, Los Angeles County. And we'll be taking some of your calls when we get into the second half hour. Luis, I know that this last period, you were the president of the State Bar, what, until, was it September or what?
Yes, correct.
Until September. One of the different things that you did is you set up a task force for legal services and student debt. Tell us a little bit about that, and what are you continuing to do about that?
So, Chuck, and you know this better than I do. You've been a public servant all your life, and you, in a way, you know, we're very fortunate in the criminal sector in that folks are entitled to legal representation. But, of course, that does not apply to all the other areas of law. And you do a great service by what you do in having volunteer attorneys come on and provide that advice that folks need. Well, the civil sector, of course, doesn't have a right to counsel. Civil litigants don't. And in California, you know, we've got over 250,000 attorneys, and there's still a huge gap with regards to need. This past year, I learned that approximately 70%, 70, of all plaintiffs in civil cases represent themselves.
Really? Oh, I'm not familiar with that statistic.
Yeah, so you can only imagine that gap, which is known as the justice gap.
Oh, my, yeah.
And so, you know, we're fortunate in the criminal sector that people are guaranteed representation. So one of my commitments was to start looking as to what can the state of California do to close that gap. How can we make legal services more accessible, not only to the poor, but to the middle-income families, which are struggling as well? And the other big issue, which is a major hurdle into our profession, and definitely an obstacle as to what areas of law folks can practice, is the cost of a legal education.
Yes.
You know, folks are coming out with anywhere between $150,000 to $200,000 in student debt.
Wow.
So I saw it as my responsibility as State Bar President to form a task force that was composed of law school deans, of professors, of practitioners, of non-attorneys throughout the state, and we looked at what can we do to close that justice gap and to make education more affordable and accessible. So our task force sunsetted just last month in November, and we had hearings in San Francisco and L.A. throughout the year. number of hearings. We took testimony. We took information for folks. And so now we've prepared a number of reports, and that will be my I'm taking 2 weeks off in December, and that's what I'm putting together, the final report, which we will present to the State Bar Board of Trustees, and eventually that will go up to the Supreme Court with recommendations as to what the State Bar can do make legal representation more affordable, and what can we do, if anything, in addressing the law school debt.
Would you explain to us why will this go, once it goes through the Board of Trustees of the State Bar of California, why does it then go to the Supreme Court, California Supreme Court?
Sure. Most people don't see the connection between the State Bar and the Supreme Court, but the State Bar is the regulatory arm of the Supreme Court with regards to our profession. And therefore, the State Bar's real boss is the Supreme Court. And therefore, when there's any change that is proposed that will affect the attorneys, the regulation of attorneys, we can propose it at the State Bar level, but it ultimately has to be adopted by the Supreme Court. And that's just part of the procedure.
Well, that sounds... That sounds like it has great potential, and I hope a great success, frankly, because really the cost of legal education is enormous. The cost of course, of going to med school is enormous. I can remember when I went to law school, I was paying only a few hundred bucks a year. Of course, they had, horse and buggies in those days. In any event, so I wish you the best of luck, certainly, with that. What we're going to do right now is we're coming to the end of the statewide version of the program. For people who are listening to us live, we will continue, and we will be taking calls not only on the air, but off the air. It is now 7:28 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KALW in San Francisco. We are live in the entire Bay Area. We are live on the Internet at www.kalw.org, actually throughout California, actually throughout the United States. Most of the calls we get, because we really usually focus only on California law, are calls from people in California. Here's our number if you'd like to talk to former State Bar President Luis J. Rodriguez, 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. And let me wish all of you who are listening to the program live a happy holiday season. I want to alert you, we are not going to do a program on Christmas Eve. I bet you're not surprised at that. But you may be surprised at this. We will be doing a program on New Year's Eve. So I hope you will join us then. We are doing tonight Call a Lawyer Night also, and that number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And I'm very pleased and thankful that I have the support of Alice O'Sullivan, former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization for Workers' Compensation Law, certified specialist. Again, for those of you who have questions on family law or questions on immigration law, please call in the 1-800-525-9917 number. Give your name and phone number. We will have a family law certified specialist call you tomorrow. We will have an immigration law certified specialist call you if you have an immigration question. If you have a question on landlord-tenant law, Sal Timpano is here. If you have a question on tax law or real estate, Frank Adam is here. He's also a real estate broker. If you have a problem with creditors, Leon Bayer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available tomorrow, Thursday, December 18th, from 8 a.m. to noon. No obligation whatsoever on your part. This is a great public service that Leon performs. He's been doing it for years. Very gracious guy. 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call Leo tomorrow between 8 a.m. and noon and you get his voicemail, leave your name and phone number and he will call you back. All right, I don't want anyone to be bashful. If you'd like to talk to former State Bar President Luis J. Rodriguez, please call 1-415-841-4134. He is also a past president of the California La Raza Lawyers Association. I don't know if Luis, you are willing to take any calls with respect to criminal law, but Luis J. Rodriguez is the division chief of the law offices of the public defender, L.A. County. Will you take any criminal law questions?
You know, Chuck, I'm not allowed to
okay.
do that.
Okay. All right. All right. We will not have you do that then. Here's a question that was just brought into the studio to me. On the issue of law school tuition, what about giving students a discount in exchange for doing legal services or pro bono work for the poor, elderly, and disabled? Is the State Bar thinking along these lines? Do you have some ideas on that?
Actually, we do. You know, that's a very good question. That was one of the areas that we looked at with regards to how can we lessen the burden. So the answer is yes. That is something that I will include in my report.
Mm.
Now, but then again, you know, a lot of it depends on the law schools and what they're willing to do. And so it has to be a cooperation, and it's going to be a painful financial decision for the law schools. But, you know, I think they need to look at their long-term, the feasibility of continuing the cost of education in order to survive, and there needs to be flexibility by the law schools in that area.
Do you feel that the way the cost of going to law school today is just exorbitant, or do you feel it's justified in terms of what law school students are required to pay?
You know, Chuck, I think it's in between.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would say it's exorbitant. Some people would say it's justified. But I believe it's right down the middle. I think as far as the general affordability for most folks, it is exorbitant.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some other folks who would beg to differ, either because they have the financial means or just such high grades that, you know, the various law schools are vying for them. But the reality is that it's an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of legal education is an obstacle into the profession. So what we're going to start seeing is that our profession is going to be a profession of elite individuals.
And we don't want that, frankly.
Exactly.
As a society, we don't want or do we need that, really. Would you talk a little bit about this? I don't recall what year you were the president of the California La Raza Lawyers Association. What role, are you still involved with the La Raza California Lawyers Association?
Not directly.
I see.
Not directly.
Do you have any idea what that organization is doing in terms of trying to help people with some of these immigration law issues?
You know, I know the statewide organization has been working with the various local bar associations in and this I know from LA County and Orange County as well, and Santa Clara County,
mm-hmm.
folks who I've kept in touch with, providing seminars for folks in the community as to exactly what you're doing, Chuck, where, you know, they'll have a panel of attorneys providing information, free legal service. For example, here in Los Angeles, the Mexican American Bar Association, they have an annual fair where they have quite a few attorneys at tables sitting down for the whole day,
mm-hmm.
and providing free legal advice. And these same attorneys actually go to Mexico, are invited to certain parts of Mexico to provide legal orientation in Mexico for folks who want to do business, or really, I mean, what it comes down to, what are their immigration rights?
So very interesting.
Yes, a lot of folks are out there trying to do their part.
Very interesting. What's life like down there in L.A.? You know, when I went to Loyola Law School in the old building, two stories, when it rained, we had a whole bunch of leaks in the upper classroom. What's life like down there in LA today?
You know, it's amazing in that, you know, I went to school up at Santa Clara.
I know you did.
Undergrad and law school, and I loved it up there. And at least when I was there, the pace of life seemed very balanced in that you weren't running around like crazy. Here in Los Angeles, Chuck, you remember those days. You know, it's just, it's crazy every day. I can
really
tell you, you know, I live about 6 miles from my office, and it takes me about 45 minutes
Ooh.
To get to the office.
Oh, that's incredible.
So that gives you a general idea of what L.A. is about.
Yeah, yeah. It took me this evening, and of course, it was raining, but I live in Palo Alto, and it's not that far to come up to KALW, which is Phil and Sala Burton High School in San Francisco. It took me about an hour and 45 minutes leaving Palo Alto at about 4:25 p.m. I didn't get here until 5 minutes after six.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was, this is not that unusual, especially when it's raining. But in any event, I am taking you off things that I think are really important to everybody to hear you talk about. And I want people to call. I mean, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to talk to Luis J. Rodriguez, who is a very significant man, past president of the State Bar of California, immediate past president, former president of the California La Raza Lawyers Association. If you have a question in the area of, let's say, the practice of law, for example, or if you have a question in the area of immigration law or something like that, or you have some question that you hope a former State Bar president might be able to respond to, please call 1-415-841-4134, and it is our Call a Lawyer night. Although the rain, there's some people who are just not brave enough to get out there and drive to KALW. But we have three people who had committed that they'd be on the for Call a Lawyer who canceled. I guess it's raining too hard. But it is our Call a Lawyer night, 1-800-525-9917. Please take advantage if you have a workers' compensation law question, a family law, an immigration law, a landlord-tenant law question, tax law, real estate, or certainly if you want to try to talk with someone tomorrow with respect to your overwhelmed debts, overwhelming debts, Leon Baer will be available at 1-800-477-3111. For Call a Lawyer, it's 1-800-525-9917 for this evening, 1-800-525-9917.
Let me plug this in for you. Let me cut you off right there.
Please, cut me off.
You are too modest. And what I've been wanting to, you know, say about you and what you do is truly heartfelt. You are celebrating, I believe, your 31st anniversary.
It will be the actual 31st anniversary will be in February of 2015. This is the 31st year of the program, but the actual anniversary will be next year.
So in a couple of months.
Yeah.
You know, and this is to all the listeners, that this last year as State Bar President, I was able to see so many great things about our profession. And, you know, for good reason, attorneys, many times our profession does not have a very good reputation. But it's people like Chuck and the work that Chuck puts, and it comes from the heart, doing it every week. And preparing for each program, it's not something that he can just pick up and I'm sure you could do it right now, but you are so well prepared that it takes time and the dedication that you've shown, not only in your professional life but also in your free time to help the community, is a great example of what makes our profession an admirable one. And Chuck, You are the platinum standard, truly, and this comes from my heart, Chuck.
I know it does.
You are the platinum standard of what we as attorneys should strive to be. Alice O'Sullivan, I know, is an extremely dedicated individual.
She is.
Well-respected individual for many, many years. You two, and you, Chuck, it's it makes me so proud to have been the State Bar President because of folks like yourself.
Well, you're wonderful to say something like that. Thank you very much. You're a very humble man, very talented, very experienced, very knowledgeable, and I greatly appreciate what you have said. I must say that I am a great lover of live radio. I am a great lover of listeners being able to call in and speak with with guests like you. I have been doing the Call a Lawyer Night for, probably nearly all of the 30-some-odd years that I've been doing this program, with the cooperation of the San Francisco Bar and, of course, the San Mateo County Bar. Before we take our first call, who happens to be Pepper, what a great name, let me just say a couple of things here, if you don't mind. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and now also in Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you are in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced for you and set you up for a half-an-hour consultation. With minor exception throughout California, the cost for a half-an-hour consultation ranges from $25 to $35. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep the service going. It's a great, great thing. And by the way, I also want to tell you, if you want to or need to try to find a certified specialist to handle a problem you may have in any one of the 11 fields that I mentioned that are certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, there is a statewide number, and that is 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100, or you can go to the Internet, www.calbar.ca.gov, and go to the left side of your screen to Legal Specialists. If you do that and plug in where you are, what city you're in, it will tell you who the certified specialists are in those various fields. So it's a great way to get some opportunity to figure this out. And before we go to Pepper, let me ask you one further thing, if you would, Luis, about the La Raza Lawyers Association. Does it have a website that might, if you know, be able to give people more information with respect to, for example, the undocumented situation or the driver's license bill situation? Do you know if it does?
You know what, Chuck? I know it does have a website, and as we talk, I will look for it.
Okay, very good. All right. Let's get Pepper. Pepper, thank you for your patience, and welcome to the program.
Thank you. And I'm wondering if many of us would agree that as we look at the news across the nation, there's a need for a strategy for ongoing dialogue between communities, especially communities of color, and the judicial system and law enforcement. And I'm wondering if your guest has information on the use of restorative practices, restorative justice practices.
What do you mean by that, Pepper? What do you mean by restorative? What do you mean by restorative practices?
Well, there are many forms of it. My definition would be that a restorative practice is something that by the very nature of the format, builds in a naturally occurring accountability and dialogue that builds understanding, not necessarily agreement, but at least understanding and the ability for all sides to be heard, so that if there is going to be any progress made in addressing needs, that's step one. And it takes many forms. I don't know if your guest is familiar with any of them. There was one case that was in Washington that was run by an attorney there who was also involved in a lawsuit with the same family of the person who was shot by a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not up to date on mm-hmm. what the result was at, if it's still going on there, but mm-hmm. a restorative justice circle was formed by the attorney involved in a civil suit with the family of the man who was killed by police. And they sat down together and agreed not to discuss the case specifically, but to discuss the ongoing needs that emerge from that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So changes have taken place because of that process. And I was just wondering if your guests...
Let me see if we can get some thoughts from Luis J. Rodriguez for you, Pepper. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your thoughtful...
I'll take my answer off the air.
That's terrific. Thank you very much for your thoughtful question and thoughts on this. Luis, do you have any comments in response to Pepper's...
I do. Yeah, and thank you, Pepper, please. For the question and Chuck.
Yeah.
The issue of restorative justice is interpreted in different ways in the legal circles. You know, when we think about that, we think of drug court, we think of veterans courts or domestic violence courts where the individual accused of the offense is being, instead of being thrown in jail or in custody, is being given treatment.
Yes.
Now, I know that many prosecuting agencies have a program where before a criminal offense is filed, they bring in the victim
mm-hmm.
or witnesses
mm-hmm.
And have them discuss with the accused as to what happened and can something be resolved prior to the filing of a criminal offense. So that is ongoing. I mean, mm-hmm. in the criminal mm-hmm. sector, and Chuck, you know this well, we've been doing that for many, many years, many decades, in trying to avert going into jail. Now, on the civil side, I know that there are many attorneys who go through mediation and in an attempt to avoid going into court where it gets a lot more contentious. So there are many forms of what Pepper has labeled as restorative justice. The effort is there. The need is there. So to put it very shortly, yes, it's being done.
Here's a question that was brought into the studio, and again, I want to give you our phone number, 1-415-841-4134, if you'd like to talk with Luis J. Rodriguez. We also are doing Call a Lawyer Night, 1-800-525-9917. I just see that someone else just showed up, fortunately, and let me tell you who it is. I guess it was raining kind of hard. Ron Rohde, patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration. Ron is here, so he has returned. I think he's getting a piece of pizza first, but in any event, he'll take your questions. And here's the question that was brought in. Luis, you mentioned many individuals are endeavoring to represent themselves at court. And you mentioned, I think, the percentage was 70% of plaintiffs in civil cases are self-represented.
Correct.
Do you have suggestions how a person can prepare to appear in pro per without losing her or his way, avoiding common blunders, or going to court with two left feet? That this is a big question and one that would take a lot more than just a minute or two to discuss.
Well, let me give you the, as we used to say, the Reader's Digest. Page,
this is good.
Is it
in big print?
In big print, correct.
Okay.
You know, now many courthouses have the self-help centers.
Yes.
That are run by whether it's the local legal aid organization for that county or a nonprofit organization. And that's exactly what they do. They can't give legal advice, but they can direct individuals as to the necessary paperwork, what needs to be turned in. That's one easy thing that folks can do. The other thing is, and Chuck and you and I have been discussing this, are the nonprofit legal services organizations. And each county has one, at least one, whether it's San Mateo Legal Aid Association, San Francisco, LA, or variations of that. They go on the website, check to see what they have, and many of them have the various areas of law that that you are talking about. So the best thing is be informed, go to these websites, see what kind of free or low-cost services are provided, meet with them, and then the next step, of course, is going to the self-help center.
And certainly, I think many of the bar associations do have programs for attorneys who are willing to devote their time on a pro bono basis. That means no cost.
Right.
And these are attorneys who are who have a commitment to the community to help people who can't afford attorneys. So there is a lot out there. I want to let's see what I wanted to do also before we go on this, get lost on this. Let me see. I guess we have no one else. Either we have a blockbuster movie on TV tonight, or you have just mesmerized people, Luis. But the number is 1-415-841-4134. And I see Ron Rohde there. He's eating his pizza. And so if you want to talk with him on patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration, the number 1-800-525-9917 for Call a Lawyer. We have probably about 6 or 7 minutes left in the program. I'm wondering what additional thoughts you might have that you'd like to share with us in this holiday season, where I wish, by the way, at this point, I wish you happy holidays and a great 2015, by the way, Luis. And I wish everyone who's listening to the program, I wish you happy holidays. What additional thoughts might you have to try to pep us up?
Okay, well, first of all, let me thank you for this opportunity, Chuck.
Well, of course.
And as well, wish you and your loved ones a happy holiday season, and
thank
for
you.
All the volunteers, it's greatly appreciated. And you know, as we move into 2015, of course, we always wish the best of health for everybody, our loved ones, and ourselves. So that is, of course, my number one thing. But you know, as I think about this last year as president, I was filled with so many gifts, and by that I mean meeting people throughout the state, and whether they were attorneys or not, and seeing how there's so many folks trying to do so many good things. In the media, we only hear the sensationalized facts out there, which are normally not very positive. But I'm always very optimistic as to our society here in California, because we're a very diverse world here, a microcosm of really the world. And the way that we interact with each other, although sometimes the more negative things come out in the media, I've had the great fortune to see the opposite side, which is the good things of people. And my hope for 2015 is that we see more of that coming from the media, highlighting the good things that people are doing, because that inspires folks to continue to do good things, and it motivates people to do good things. Instead of trying to figure out how can we stop bad things from happening, I think we need to shift our focus and say, how can we motivate people to do good things?
Well, I think that's very good, and I hope we do see more good things during 2015. Let's see what Matthew has to say. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Hello, Chuck. This is the second time I've called. You know, many, many years. I'm a San Francisco resident for over 50 years, and a former member of the bar.
Now, wow.
Not as old a number as yours, 81031. and I practiced for nearly two decades, Chuck, and I wanted to ask Lewis one thing, and he may or may not be able to answer it, but I had been involved in a marijuana conspiracy and served 3 years in federal prison.
Ooh, wow.
I've been out for 20 years. I actually made application to be reinstated many years back, and I wanted to share this with Lewis, because what I found with the State Bar Court Prosecutor's Office is that it's very, very old school in terms of, we're talking like heat of the night, kind of almost movie-like, you know, culture that existed. I hope it's changed, but what it seemed to be is it was totally kind of not at all filled and run by prosecutors and staff who really had no idea or conception of what the private practice of law was. They generally came from government and those kind of situations. So there was very little empathy for lawyers that got into some form of trouble, legal
Matthew,
trouble.
May I interrupt for just a moment? Were you ever permitted to be reinstated in the bar?
No, I applied for reinstatement, but was
denied.
Turned down. But let me tell you the process.
We're nearly out of time. I want to get Luis. Luis to respond to you. We're nearly out of time, if you don't mind, Matthew. Let him respond to what you've said so far. If you'll turn your radio back up so you can hear his response. Luis, do you have a response for Matthew?
Sure, Matthew. You know, there's constant change at the state bar in trying to improve things, and. I believe what you say, that years ago when you went through that, things were not as open as we would expect, but there's a continuing effort to improve the way things are done at the state bar. And what I can tell you this is that if things don't change and improve at the state bar, other entities will look at the state bar and impose those changes. So
there is hope, you're saying.
There is hope.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good to hear. Luis, we have about one more minute, if you have one more brief comment for all of us.
You know, Chuck, again, I really want to thank you, and I won't get into any other things other than, again, to say that you are the platinum standard, and the work that you do is a great example of what makes our profession an honorable profession.
Well, I am honored that you would say such a thing. Frankly, I appreciate very much your saying this, because I know you are extremely sincere, and you're a man of great dedication, not only to your office, the Los Angeles County Public Defender's Office, but to the State Bar and to the public. And it's been a pleasure having you return to this program and spending time trying to help all of us understand better what some aspects of the law are. Luis, I wish you a very happy holiday.
Likewise, Chuck.
And a great 2015, and I hope we keep in touch, frankly. Luis J. Rodriguez is the immediate past president of the State Bar of California, past president of the California La Raza Lawyers Association, division chief of the law offices of the Public Defender, Los Angeles County. Thanks again, Luis.
Thank you, Chuck.
I wish all of you out there a very happy holiday season. Let me tell you what we're doing on New Year's Eve, believe me or not. We're going to do a review of estate planning and documents to protect you and your heirs. My guest will be Peter Stern, a specialist in estate planning. He's a past chair of the Executive Committee of the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar of California. That will be on New Year's Eve. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr, production assistant Martin McLean. This segment of Your Legal Rights has been funded by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Thanks again for listening to this program. Happy holidays, everybody. I look forward to having you join us on New Year's Eve. I'm Chuck Vinnie.